It's good to see everyone this morning. I was just thinking about, as we were singing that song, you know, how we're seeing how much we love to be in His presence. Think of how much He loved that we love to be in His presence. Think about that. That's all He wants, is for us to want Him more than than life itself. More than anything. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, Lord, You love us so much that we saying we love to be in Your presence, but our love cannot compare to the love that You love for us to be here. And You so willingly give it to us. So willingly. Are we trying to connect? Right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. We are on our tour portion number two. We just finished number one last week, talking about the creation. I need to get to a slide. Okay, here we go. In this Torah portion, it's talking about Noah. And there's a lot of symbolism is what we're looking at. I'll make this a little bigger. Because this is not where I stopped at last night, but I woke up with this on my mind. You know, this was one of the slides, because we was talking about grace and how that's one of Elohim's characters. That's one of God's characters, is His grace and His mercy. And how He's generous with both of them. And I read a passage from the Book of Jubilees, how after He commanded Noah to build an ark and he was going to save his family and save, you know, his wife, his kids, and his kids' wives. And in his mind, I was thinking, because after he saved them, he knew from the very beginning what his sons was going to do, what Ham was going to do. Because after he wiped out the whole creation and started all over with them, all over again, it's the earth just, it's like a slap in the face almost. Because it went right back to the giants was, through Ham's four sons, the giants was brought back to life, you can say, from his four sons, from Ham's four sons. It was regenerated. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about that passage, because it says grace is when you get the good things you don't deserve. He gives us the good things we don't deserve. And His mercy is when you're spared from the bad things you do deserve. And I look back at my life. When I see things like this, I look back at my life and how He spared me from the bad things that I deserve. Because it was like I was just spitting in His face. It was just a mockery to Him. But yet He spared me from those things. And I read in that, I want to get to that script that in the Jubilees, because I want to read this, because this is Noah. After they done came out of the ark, after Yah's grace and mercy spared their lives, he had to have this. He was commanded to have these conversations because there was iniquity. It says uncleanness and fornication that was stirring back up. Noah seen it coming out of his sons. And it's like, Yah, after all what He just did for them, they was the chosen people that He was going, the remnant that He was going to save to bring, because Noah was righteousness. He said he was righteous completely. His DNA was, they call it a Zadok. He was completely righteous in his DNA. And I was thinking about this passage this morning. I was like, man, Lord, You're so good. You knew what Ham was going to do, but yet You still spared his life. Why? Because of his father. Listen, our kids' lives can be spared because of us. We just have to stay faithful to him. And let's read, it says, for owing, this is the book of Jubilees, chapter 7, verse 21 through 34. It says, for owing to these three things, and I named those three things, came the flood upon the earth, namely owing to the fornication, or in the watchers against the law of their ordinances. Notice, they had their own law that they had to keep. They wasn't supposed to mix with humans. They had their own Torah. But yet, they did. He said, wherein the watchers against the law of their ordinances went whoring after the daughters of men and took themselves wives of all which was chose, and they made the beginning of uncleanness. And they begat sons of Nephilim, and they were all unlike, and they devoured one another. And the giant slew Nephil, and Nephel slew Eloah, and the Eloah mankind, and one man another. And every one sold himself to work iniquity and to shed much blood, and the earth was filled with iniquity. And after this, they sinned against the beasts and birds and all that moved and walked on the earth, and much blood was shed on the earth, and every imagination and desire of men imagined vanity and evil continually. Notice what he's taking them from. Everything was imagined in their heart, the desire, every their desires, the earth desire had went completely away from Elohim. Their desire was for evil continually. And the Lord destroyed everything from off the face of the earth because of the wickedness of their deeds and because of the blood which they had shed in the midst of the earth. He destroyed everything. And we were left. Now, this is Noah. I could imagine being the father who was righteous before Elohim. And now I got to have this conversation with my sons because I see wickedness stirring up in them after all what Yah had did. He says, I and you, my sons, and everything that entered with us into the ark, and behold, I see your works before me, that ye do not walk in righteousness. For in the path of destruction ye have begun to walk, and ye are parting one from another, and are envious one of another, and so it cometh that ye are not in harmony, my sons, each which with his brother. For I see, and behold, the demons have begun their seductions against you and against your children. And now I fear on your behalf that after my death you will shed the blood of men upon the earth, and that you too will be destroyed from the face of the earth. For whoso sheds man's blood and whoso eats the blood of any flesh shall all be destroyed from the earth. And there shall not be left any man that eats blood or that sheds the blood of man on the earth, nor shall there be left to him any seed or descendants living under heaven. For into Sheol shall they go, and into the place of condemnation shall they descend, and into the darkness of the deep shall they all be removed by violent death. For there shall be no blood seen upon you. Of all the blood there shall be all the days in which you have killed any beast or cattle or whatever flies upon the earth. And work you a good work to your souls by covering that which has been shed on the face of the earth. And it shall not be like him who eats with blood, but guard yourselves that none may eat blood before you. Cover the blood, for thus have I been commanded to testify to you and your children together with all flesh. Listen, when you're commanded, you might not want to do it. You might not, but when God gives you a command, when Elohim gives you a commandment, can you imagine? I mean, it had to have been tough. He's talking to his sons. That's your family, especially your children. This is kind of the hardest ones you want to, because you don't want to be sound like you're coming off mean to him or rough to him. But Noah had to. He was commanded to do so. After God, Yah Elohim, then showed all his grace and his mercy upon him. Right after, he's got to sit down and have this conversation. That just blew my mind. When I woke up this morning, I was like, the first first thing I was thinking about was this. It was heavy on me. I was like, Lord, you're so mindful. You know, not only did he prepare 125 years of telling the people to repent, turn. He got to come back and have this conversation with his own flesh and blood, his own kids, who witnessed the mercy and the grace of Elohim's power that saved them. And suffer not to the soul to be eaten with the flesh, that your blood, which is your life, may not be required at the hand of any flesh that sheds it on the earth. For the earth will not be clean from the blood which has been shed upon it, for only through the blood of him that shed it will the earth be purified throughout all its generation. And now, my children, listen. He's telling them, work judgment in righteousness, that you may be planted in righteousness over the face of the whole earth. Why? In your glory, lift up before my God, who saved me from the waters of the flood. He's telling them, my children, listen, work judgment. I see it. I see that the demons is stirring up in y'all. Y'all not even in harmony no more with one another. So that was on my mind this morning. I just wanted to go back over that slide and just share with those who wasn't here last night to see how powerful that was. So we'll go ahead and jump back up to our start slide today, where we stopped at. We stopped right here, starting with chapter 8, the end of the flood. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Elohim remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided." He made a wind. And they symbolized this with the same wind that he used for the children of Israel to go through the Red Sea. How he said there was a wind that's like come through his nostrils and just divided the seas for them to walk through. "And the fountains of the deep and the windows of heavens were stopped, and the rain from the heavens was withheld. And the waters receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days, the waters diminished. And in the seventh new moon, the 17th day of the new moon, the ark rested on the Mount of Ararat." This is the question Brother Chad had last night. I told him we have to wait. Just be patient. We're going to get to it tomorrow. But we got to see what this is. Because why in the seventh new moon and the 17th day? Let's see the symbolism. "And the waters decreased," verse 5, "steadily until the 10th new moon. In the 10th new moon, on the first day of the new moon, the tops of the mountains became visible." Anybody know what happens in the seventh new moon? The seventh new moon, the 17th day of the new moon, is the mist of Sukkot. Think about it. In the mist of Sukkot, that's the symbolism. And what does Sukkot resembles? What does it represent? It's a covering. It's a covering for us. And that's what the ark was for Noah and his family. It was a covering. It covered them. It sheltered them. Verse 6, "And it came to be at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent out a raven which kept going out and turning back until the waters had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove from him to see in the waters had recited, to see if the waters had recited from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for his feet and returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of all the earth. So he put out his hand and took it and pulled it back and pulled it into the ark to himself. And he waited another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. And the dove came to pick to him in the evening and see a freshly plucked olive leaf was in its mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth." And that represents Israel, that fleshy, that, because Israel is the olive, and it shows that he's preserving. Now he's preserving that from Noah, because he foresees that in Noah's seed is where the children of Israel will be brought forth from. That's prophecy. And it says the olive tree represent Israel in Bible prophecy. Yah is preserving Noah for his bride. In verse 12, and he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return to him again. And it came to be in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the new month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. Notice the first month, first year, first day, new beginning. In that first month, what we celebrate? Passover. Celebrate Passover in that first month. And it's amazing that how the enemy wants to destroy us, but by the blood of Yeshua, he covers us. He covers us by his blood. Verse 14, and in the second new moon, on the 27th day of the new moon, the earth was dry. So he's still in from the first month, he's still in the ark. Still in the ark. And Elohim spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every life from all the flesh that is with you of birds and cattle, with birds of cattle and all creeping creatures, the creeping creatures on the earth, and let them teem on the earth and bear and increase on the earth. But go back. It says, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons. On that day, it represents something. It's another symbolism. On that day, they went out. The day that they got out of the ark, we see in the book of Jubilees, chapter 6, verse 1 through 16, was on the third month of Shavuot. You see, the Torah don't bring out these days, but we have resources that we need to search that tells us. It says the Torah is just an outline. It tells us an outline of, and there's other resources that give us details of how we can live out the Torah. And that's the book of Jubilees, the book of Jasher, the book of Enoch. It tells us, it gives us more depth, more insight of how to live the Torah out. So it says right here on the chapter 6, verse 1 through 16 of the book of Jubilees, and on the new moon of the third month, Shavuot, he went forth from the ark and built an altar on that mountain. And he made atonement for the earth and took a kid and made atonement by its blood for all the guilt of the earth. For everything that had been on it had been destroyed, save those that were in the ark with Noah. And verse 3, and he placed the fat thereof on the altar, and he took an ox and a goat and a sheep and kids and salt and a turtle dove and the young of a dove, and placed a burnt sacrifice on the altar and poured thereon an offering mingled with oil and sprinkled wine and strewed frankincense over everything, and caused a goodly Savior to arise, acceptable before the Lord. And the Lord smelt the goodly Savior, and he made a covenant with him that there should not be any more a flood to destroy the earth, that all the days of the earth, seed time and harvest, should never cease, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night should not change their order, nor cease forever. And you increase, ye, and multiply upon the earth, and become many upon it, and be a blessing upon it. The fear of you and the dread of you I shall spare in everything that is on the earth and in the sea. And behold, I have given unto you all beasts and all winged things and everything that move on the earth and the fish in the waters and all things for food as the green herbs. I have given you all things to eat. Notice this covenant he's making with Noah. He's restoring everything back. And we see symbolism of the renewal of the covenant. Everything's on a mountain. Notice that if we take our time and read scripture carefully, everything is on the mountain. Noah's covenant was renewed on the mountain. You see, Isaac was born of a child of promise, and he was taken up to a mountain. The Ten Commandments given on a mountain, Mount Sinai, renewed covenant. And you see Shavuot, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The disciples gathered in one accord, and that was on a mountain. that was on Mount Zion. Everything is on a mountain. You can see a lot of symbolism. That's what this Torah portion is about. But flesh with the life thereof, with the blood, ye shall not eat. For the life of all flesh is in the blood. Lest your blood of your lives be required at the hand of every man, and at the hand of every beast shall I require the blood of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you increase ye and multiply on the earth. And Noah and his sons swore that they would not eat any blood that was in any flesh. And he made a covenant before the Lord God forever throughout all the generations of the earth in this month. On this account, he spoke to you that you should make a covenant with the children of Israel in this month upon the mountain with an oath, and that you should sprinkle blood upon them because of all the works of the covenant which the Lord made with them forever. And this testimony is written concerning you that you should observe it continually, so that you should not eat on that any day any blood of beasts or birds or cattle during all the days of the earth. And the man who eats the blood of beasts or of cattle or of birds during all the days of the earth, he and his seed shall be rooted out of the land. And to you command the children of Israel to eat no blood, so that their names and their seed may be before the Lord, our sovereign ruler, continually. And for this law, there is no limit of days, for it is forever. They shall observe it throughout their generations, so that they may continue supplications on your behalf with blood before the altar. Every day at the time of morning and evening, they shall seek forgiveness on your behalf perpetually before the Lord, that they may keep it and not be rooted out. And he gave to Noah and his sons a sign that there shall not again be a flood on the earth. He set his bow in the cloud for a sign of eternal covenant, that there should not again be a flood on the earth to destroy it all the days of the earth. And notice what the enemy has done with that covenant, with that sign. Notice he's trying to take the very thing. He always wants what God has, and he has taken it, and a certain group of people has claimed that's theirs, the enemy. You see them, they walk around with it proudly, and he said, that was my covenant, mine. Listen, the day is coming that all that's going to be restored back to the Father, all what the enemy has manipulated the people to believe, his covenant. If he says it's his, trust me, it's his. And he's not going to go back on his word. Genesis 8:18. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping creature, and every bird, whatever creeps on the earth according to their kinds, went out of the ark. And Noah built the slaughter place to Yah, and took of every clean beast and of every clean bird, and offer ascending offerings on the slaughter place. And Yah smelt a soothing fragrance, and Yah said in his heart, never again shall I curse the ground because of man, although the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I'm never going to curse it again, even though I know that their heart's evil. And never again strike all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Notice how that was just all that was in the book of Jubilees. In chapter 9, the mitzvot, one of the very first mitzvot, the new commandments introduced in covenant with Noah. In verse 1, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and increase, and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you is on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the heavens, on all that creeps on the ground and on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they have been given. Every creeping creature that lives its food for you, I have given you all as I gave the green plants. But do not eat flesh with its life It's blood. And we, you know, what he says? I give every creeping that lives food for you. I've given you all as I gave the green plants. But do not eat flesh with his life and his blood. He gave a very same commandment to Adam and Eve. You can eat this tree, but don't eat that one. Don't eat that tree. But only for blood for your lives I require. From the hand of every beast I require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood is shed. For in the image of Elohim has he made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase. Bring forth teemingly in the earth and increase in it. And Elohim spoke to Noah and to his sons with him saying, and I see, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living being that is with you, of the birds, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. And I establish, and I shall establish my covenant with you, and never again is all flesh cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again is there a flood to destroy the earth. And Elohim said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living being that is with you for all generations to come. I shall set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I shall remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living being of all flesh. And never again let the waters become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I shall see it to remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living being of all flesh that is on the earth. Notice the word is speaking right here in verse 16. Yah's very word is speaking right here. It says, and the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I shall see it. It's like he's the, like his word is becoming the very first person in this passage. To remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living being of all flesh that is on the earth. And Elohim said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. And the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and all the earth was overspread from them. And Noah, a man of the sorrow, began and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Notice what he did. And, you know, this is going to be a life lesson, because when we see someone in trouble or someone hurting, this is what he did. It's not that he went and talked about it. You know, he went and made a mockery of his dad. You know, you probably laughed. And that was breaking the Torah, because you're not in the Torah. You're not supposed to look at the nakedness of your parents. And that's what he did right here. He went out and he talked about it. No different than how we got to watch ourselves if we see somebody going through something. Don't be so quick to go laugh about or make a joke about it. Help that person. So Shem and Japheth took a garment. They laid it on both of their shoulders, and they went backwards. They observing the Torah and covered the nakedness of their father. But their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. He knew that he went and defiled his character, made a mockery of his father. And he said, curse, notice who Noah cursed. He said, curse is Canaan. He didn't curse Ham. He cursed his offspring. He cursed his son. He said, cursed is Canaan. That's why we have to watch. We have to be very, very careful, because we bring sin upon our kids. It says to the third and fourth generations. Think about that. Third and fourth generations. So that means elder parents, you got kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, third and fourth generations. Notice who he cursed. He cursed Canaan. Let him become a servant to the fathers, servant of servants to his brothers. And we see that Canaan is one of the cultures that the giants spring back up from. Canaan was one of those cultures. And he said, blessed be Yah, the Elohim of Shem, and let Canaan become his servant. Let Elohim enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan become his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. And we learned that in the creation week, that there was nobody living past 1,000 years. 950, and he died. So here we are in chapter 10, the genealogy of the sons of Noah. Now, bear with me with some of these names, because you know I struggle with English words up here. So the Hebrew words, they're not going to sound like they written, I can promise you. And I know I'm not saying it like I'm supposed to, but I'm going to give it my best. All right, so here we go. So the genealogy of the sons of Noah. And this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah. And I'm going to read it. And, you know, when you get to these passages like this, you kind of want to skip over. Because, I mean, what's the purpose for all these names? But there's a purpose behind all these names. There's a reason. And I'm going to tell you after I finish reading. And this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomor, and Magog, and Madai, and Yawan, and Tubal, and Meshka, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomor, Ashkenaz, and Riphat, and Togarma. And the sons of Yawan, Elisha, and Tarish, Kittim, and Dodan. From these, the coastlands, peoples of the nations were spread into their lands, separated into their lands, everyone according to their language, according to their clans, into their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And those four sons is what instituted the giants all over again, because they was cursed because of their father, of what he'd done. In verse 7, the sons of Cush, Seba, and Hawali, and Sabet, and Rama, and Sabtika, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan, and Cush brought forth Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one of the earth. He was a mighty hunter before Yah. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Yah. In the beginning of his reign was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. From the land he went to Ashur and built Nineveh, and Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that great city. And Mizraim brought forth Ludum, and Anamon, and Lahaban, and Naphtim, and Patrusim, and Calcium, from whom came the Philistines and Captorum. And Canaan brought forth Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hittite, and the Arakite, and the Sinite, and the Aradite, and the Semarite, and the Helmethite. And afterward, the clans of the Canaanites were spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, and as far as Azza, as you go toward Sodom and Amorah, and Emma and Seboim, as far as Lasha. There were the sons of Ham according to their clans, according to their languages, in their lands, and in their nations. And also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japhet, the elder, children were born. The sons of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram, and the sons of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash, and Arpachshad brought forth Shelah, and Shelah brought forth Eber. And to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in the days the earth was divided. And that's what Peleg means. It means division. And there's so much more to each, every little name. It was just hard for me to try to remember. And I didn't want to write it all down. And his brother name was Yoktan. And Yoktan brought forth Almadad and Shelah, the Hartzamawit, and Urah, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophar, and Hawali, and Yobab. All these were the sons of Yokatan. And their dwelling place was from Mishah, as you go toward Sefer, a mountain of the east. There were the sons of Shem. These were the sons of Shem according to their clans, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their generations. In their nations and from their nations were divided on the earth after the flood. And you need some water after you say all those names. A water and that thing, wipe your sweat, all that good stuff. But there's a purpose behind all those names. There's a reason. It's important for us to understand the migration after the flood and how they dispersed, because every prophecy in every place that Israel deals with other nations help us to understand their origins and where they came from. So that's why it's so important to take the time and read it. And not only read it, but you go back and see what's the origins behind all this. Because Israel had to deal with these nations, and it helped us to understand that. So here we are, chapter 11. And it's on one world language and government. Babel, the genealogy of to Abraham, which our next Torah portion is, this is what it's going to lead us into. It's leading us into Abraham, which is awesome. Genesis 11, 1. And right here, you know, there was 70 languages. 70 languages was confused right here at Babel. 70 nations arose speaking 70 different languages. And what's significant about that? Because there were 70 bulls sacrificed on Sukkot, one for every nation, one for the whole world. 70 bulls. You see the symbolism? It's all in this. It's all in the Torah. Genesis 11, 1, and all the earth had one language and one speech. And we all know what that one language was, Hebrew. And we're going to pronounce these names right one day, because he's going to restore us back to our original language. We're all going to speak it. I can't wait so I can pronounce these names perfectly. And all the earth in one language and one speech. And it came to be, as they set out from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And if you go look in the Jubilees, it said it took them a year, because the base of this thing was 3.5 miles long. So it took them a year. After they prepared their bricks, it took each person a whole year to get to bring it to the top of Babel. It took them exact. Can you imagine a whole year of traveling to bring your bricks? And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over all the face of the earth. Then Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And Yah said, look, they are one people. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, I want you to notice something here. He says, look, they are all one people and they all have one language. Can you imagine when you're in harmony together with each other, when we become one people, the power that we have, that when we get to that one language? It says they were mighty. They have one language, and that is what, and this is what they begin to do. And now they are not going to be withheld from doing whatever they plan to do. Come, let us go there and confuse their language so that they do not understand one another's speech. And Yah scattered them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. That is why its name was called Babel. And we use that. Sounds like just a bunch of babble to us. When somebody's saying something and you don't understand what they're saying, we get it from the scripture. Just they didn't understand each other. Because Yah confused the language of all the earth, and from there Yah scattered them over the face of all the earth. And this is the motto of the European Union. And what they're saying is this is a mockery. It's what they're saying. This is a mockery to Yah. Because they're saying united is diversity from many languages and one people. And notice there was many people in one language. So they flipped it. Just to make a mockery of Yah, it was said one language and many people. They reversing what Elohim did at the Tower of Babel. We will become a one world government like Nimrod intended it to be. That's what the European model is, union model is. Verse 10, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and brought forth Arpachshad 2 years after the flood, Arpachshad. And after he brought forth Arpachshad, Shem lived 500 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Arpachshad lived 35 years and brought forth Shelah. And after he brought forth Shelah, Arpachshad lived 403 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Shelah lived 30 years and brought forth Eber. And after he brought forth Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and brought forth Peleg. And after he brought forth Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and brought forth Reu. And after he brought forth Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years and brought forth Serug. And after he brought forth Serug, Reu lived 207 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and brought forth Nahor. And after he brought forth Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and brought forth Terah. And after he brought forth Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and brought forth sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and brought forth Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah brought forth Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran brought forth Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur Kasadim. And Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah, and the father of Yishkin. And Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went out of them from Ur Kasadim to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, they left, because I didn't know this, but you knew Abraham was thrown into a fire? Abraham was, and so was Haran, and Haran died. And it was Nimrod who threw them into the fire. And Abraham came out unscorched, nothing wrong, because of his righteousness, because of his righteousness. And the days of Terah came to be 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And this is where portion 2 stops at. It goes all the way to verse 32 of chapter 11. Starts with chapter 6, verse 9, and grows through chapter 11, verse 32. And what we'll see out of this portion is how Noah had grace in the eyes of Yah. Noah and Abraham had grace in the eyes of Yah. And we see Yah showing his grace, his favor, and preserving a people through Noah and Abraham. And he is showing us his character. It's about seeing his character. He's about a saving act. It's not about a destroying act. And that's what it's about. That's what we get out of this Torah, his character of grace and his mercy. And it's the same grace and mercy that he bestows upon us today, the same exact one, because he gives us what we don't deserve, and he gives us what we do. Think about that. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us his mercy. He gave us life. He gave us life. He gave us everlasting life. And he's so good to us. So I want to thank y'all. This feels like a journey for me. I mean, Torah portion 1 and 2, it was, I enjoyed it. It helps me to understand scripture and helps me to prepare. So I'm just thankful for everything that he's doing for us and where he's taking us into the depth of the Torah. We have got, this is the foundation. This is, the title slide is his likes and his dislikes. And how else are we going to know it? And he's also shown us that not only in just the Torah, but there's other resources out there that we have to grab hold to that brings out the Torah. It gives us more depth, more insight. So I just want to give him all the praise and the glory and the honor and just love him again. Like we were just singing that song, love, love, love to be in your presence. And remember, just as much as we love to be in his presence, he loves us to be in his presence. He loves us to be in it. Amen. So let's stand.